Africa. This is Let's Talk, where we take a lighthearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari in Washington. Tonight, taboo.
So the issues of sex and sexualities are really not discussed. They are discussed within context, within the age group.
Well, taboo in any society is prescribed as improper or unacceptable or excluded behavior from use or practice. So, is this helpful to have such practices or not important? Well, tonight we'll explore this, of course, in our usual light-hearted manner, so please stay tuned. Now it's time to welcome to our show my colleagues, all the way from Pennsylvania, Yusuf Harande. Welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you, Shomari.
And Nazir. Welcome for the first time, Nazir.
Yo. How are you guys doing?
Everybody's good. Everybody's good. And Karina Chowdhury. Welcome back, Karina.
Thank you, Sunday. It's good to be back.
All right. Now, in this edition, we'll be discussing taboo. Okay. So, what is the origin of this word? Well, the word taboo came from the word tapu. Tapu means not allowed. It dates back to 1777 when an English explorer, Captain James Cook, went to a place he named the Friendly Islands, now known as Tonga. So some Solomon Islanders say that their languages have a word taboo that means holy. This is Solomon Island, but it refers to places in the bush where holy spirits live. So, just trying to find out, in our African context, when we talk about this word taboo, it is something that is never to be touched or not allowed, or no, you cannot even do it. And I spoke to Susan Yapan from Kenya, and I wanted to know her take.
I'm from the Maasai tribe in Kenya, and the Maasai, as you know, are still very cultured.
So oh, yes, you are.
There are a lot of taboos and do's and don'ts, and there are a lot of things that rules that are made to guide the community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they are still very strong and in existence today.
I can imagine you guys are very strong, even wearing that cloth. What do you call that cloth, the Maasai cloth?
Shuka.
Shuka. And you find a spear, someone holding a spear. So, since you're the...
That's a myth. A spear is a weapon. The government of my home country, Kenya, does not allow anyone to go walk around carrying weapons.
Okay.
They can carry swords and sinis, rungus, otherwise known as rungus, but they cannot be allowed to carry spears unless it's a ceremony that has been authorized and licensed.
Oh, okay. Now,
it is a weapon, you know.
Now, with Maasai, I always hear this thing. Maybe you can tell me if this is true or is existing anymore or not, that a young man who is Maasai becomes a Morani. And if he's a Morani, they say, to get a woman to get married, he has to go and kill a lion. Is that true still?
Used to be true a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
But as you're aware right now, the lion is now a protected animal.
Yeah.
In 1977, the Kenyan government outlawed killing of lions ceremoniously for the rite of Moran passage.
Okay.
And to kill a lion right now in Kenya, you will be jailed for a lot of years.
A long time, huh?
And lions are protected. They are in national reserves. Although there's been a lot of human wildlife conflicts, but they are being mitigated.
Okay. And what about men and female talking about sex, especially like young adults to elders? Is this happening in the Maasai culture?
No. That does not happen because, as I informed you before, age groups is where these issues are discussed. You see, for example, let me take a young boy. Right. When a young boy is born, by the time they are around 5 or 6 to 7, they are already going to head the sheep and the young ones, or sheep, goats, and the young ones of the cattle. Because the men go away with the cattle for a long time in search of water and pasture.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time they are like 12, 11, 12, 13, so that is the age, that is like one age group. Let's say 11, 10 to 15 or 11 to 14, that is one age group. They start preparing for manhood. So the issues of sex and sexualities are really not discussed. They are discussed within context, within the age group.
Thanks, Susan Yapan. This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing taboo. So, some of the things we find out, if you look around with the word taboo, there's a lot people discuss in families, in friendships. I remember in my area, East Africa, and maybe you guys will tell me as well in your areas, if someone is using his left hand, they tell you this is a no-no. So left hand is like a forbidden. You can use your left hand for eating. You can use it to say hello to somebody. There's just no way you can do it. So Karina, tell me, from your area of the world, what is so weird about these taboos that you know about?
Well, I think in South Asia, one of the big things that is considered taboo to talk about is mental health. And it's I think it's a big topic, a big problem in South Asia. Mm-hmm. But people always see any kind of mental health problems as a taboo, as in it kind of gets associated with sometimes spirits taking over someone's body. So nobody really tackles mental health in a scientific way, which I think is important to South Asian cultures, because anybody who has any kind of mental health issues are shunned from society. And so that's a big issue in South Asia. Mm. And also there's taboo about, relationships, talking about relationships and pros and cons of relationships and sexual relationships, which is also, South Asia has a huge problem of rape cultures. And you don't educate people, if you don't talk about sexual relationships, then you don't tackle issues such as rape. Mm-hmm. And so I think these are the two major things that people do not talk about in South Asia that has to be tackled.
I think this is something we also face in Africa, don't we, Mr. Nazir? You can't talk about sex all the time there, do you?
Oh, yeah, you cannot talk about sex at all. Because speaking of which, right now, recently, there was a protest in the Niger Republic about, for those talking about why the government should remove the bill they are trying to forward about putting sexual education in their schools, and the same thing in Nigeria. So it's a no-no.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes.
That's crazy, man. Yusuf Arande, tell me about it, brother.
Oh, well, pretty much you said it all, because when you talked about Africa in general, we have what, as you already said, it is no-no. Of course, it's not only talking about sex, even in terms of relationship, there are certain things you don't do. You don't do is considered taboo, like a girlfriend visiting a boyfriend's at home. It's absolutely a taboo. Or maybe as a boyfriend visiting a girlfriend to stay in the living room with the father, the mother, and her family. Absolutely taboo in Hausa land.
Hey, Yusuf, tell me about it. Not even in Hausa land. Ask Karina about it.
Yes, I mean, that's the thing. It happens in African culture and Asian, South Asian cultures. Uh-huh. And people just don't talk about it. You can't be open about it. And if you are open about it, it actually helps. It helps the society. It helps relationships. It helps families. But people don't talk about it.
But Karina, here's the thing, though. Some parents say, listen, if I entertain and talk about, this is my boyfriend, daddy, this is my girlfriend, daddy, the next thing I know, somebody's pregnant. And some parents say this works because they stay away from teen pregnancy. Is that true in Africa? They are successful with no teen pregnancies because of that?
I don't think so, but Uh-huh. Go ahead. I'm trying to jump in about this because
most of the things
that we consider taboo in Africa, sometimes I ask myself, where did this thing originate? Like, who decides this thing is taboo? And this is, you know, because as you just say right now, like as Yusuf mentioned, you know, you can a girlfriend cannot visit a boyfriend cannot visit a girlfriend. Well, it's a taboo, and the reason they give, the last week can happen, you know, you're going to see a girl pregnant or something like that. But still, we have those unwanted pregnancies. We have such a prevalent high rate of HIV
infection,
and STDs, name it. And then you're like, what is happening? Why can't we talk about this then openly so that we can help our own people, ourselves, in order to avoid the trouble in the future, but we choose not to because we think it's a taboo.
So, and if you do talk about it, then there's a chance of education. You know, you let people know what the consequences are of doing certain things. And just because people don't talk about it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. It is happening. It's just that it's not, you know, you don't understand the numbers or you don't see the statistics of it, but it is happening.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's not happening. You're very right. Hold on right there. Taboo is the topic tonight. So many interesting views and so many differences. For those of you just joining us, this is Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bungani in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 17:30 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.
This is Let's Talk, where we take a lighthearted look at everyday issues of importance to you. I'm your host, Sunday Shamari, in a Washington studio with Karina Chowdhury, Naziri, and Yusuf Harande. Here's the question, guys. Right now, we're discussing taboo. And I spoke to my colleague, Diodon Chubahiro, from Rwanda, and I wanted to know, is offering a candy or cookie to an adult in Rwanda a taboo or considered as an offense?
I will say yes, especially for those who do consider them as like old school people. Usually when you offer someone like cookies or candy, it does consider like you take him as a little child. You only give cookies to the little ones. If like a baby cries, you give him, you know,
exactly,
a piece of
candy.
Cookie. Then how are you going to give someone like me cookies?
Yeah. But hey, if it's Valentine's, we give chocolates. Hey, who cares? But I don't know.
That you do, but sweets.
But don't do that in Rwanda.
No, yeah.
But do you think this is helping maybe, or this is weird? I don't know.
Health-wise, it may help.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Like I said, it may have like a, I would say it depends. It depends like those who were exposed to, let's say, Western civilization culture.
Right. Yes.
They may see it as something normal.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
Those who are really, you know, attached to Rwandan values and culture, it has another connotation.
Yeah.
So you need to be careful.
Okay, I will be careful next time. Here's another thing, Chubahiro. We know about talking about sex or sex education in families now, not in school or in colleges, but in families. You find in some African culture and settings, you cannot talk to your children. People don't speak about this.
Right.
Now, is this something that is helping, really?
On one hand, it does. On the other hand, it doesn't.
Why not? Why?
The reason I have a saying that it's sometimes when you, let's say, bring up an issue like sex in the family, you need to be careful. You don't want to sound like you are trying to tell your kids, you can do this, it's safe. You can't do that, it's not safe. So if you come up with that kind of advice to your child, you need to be careful because you can talk, that's fine. But if you talk, then it will be up to the child to decide whether she can or he can start, you know, having sex at early age. So they leave it there But it doesn't mean that your child won't be educated about sex, because right. at school they do that.
Mm-hmm.
But with the parents, they do it, but on, let's say in Rwanda, for like you asked me about Rwanda, here's how they do it. If you see a child, for instance, becoming, let's say, like turning 13, 12, 13, that age is a ceremony where you invite the auntie. If you have like a girl, a daughter, if you have a boy,
right.
you invite an uncle.
Okay.
And then those are the people who we talk to the child directly on behalf of you,
okay.
or the father or the mother. And then with that, because it's easy to connect and discuss openly. But if as a parent, there's always like a barrier between you and your son or your daughter when it comes to tackle such issues, you need to be a bit careful.
Thanks, Diodon Chubahiro. This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing taboo.
And back to the studio. Guys, there are some bizarre taboo or rituals that we know in Africa and Asia, and some are painful and violent, and some are not. But just to name a few, you can find out somebody cannot use his left hand for anything in some places in Africa or communities. We also do know that this is something Yusuf and my friend Nazir are going to tell me. In Igbo community, I heard that it is believed if a husband of an adulterous woman knowingly eats her meal, they are told they will die. So if the man knows that his wife is tainted, he will never do that. He will do everything in his power to save his own neck by avoiding women, that woman entirely until she gets cleansed, which requires a round of sacrifices to be made. Tell me about this, guys. You're from Nigeria.
I think Yusuf will shed more light on that, because
okay.
I have never heard of this volunteer.
Honestly speaking, I don't really know much about Yoruba culture.
Uh-huh.
I'm more familiar with Hausa culture.
Okay.
So anything that has to do with Yoruba, I kind of know some, but not really deep into most of their cultures.
Okay.
Yeah. You know,
but here's the thing that these people in these communities are saying that taboo helps, because they say if such thing is believed, so you know that AIDS, or as we say, there'll be rampant diseases going on in relationships, is because once someone has done this, then she will be away from that family. No one is going to go back to this relationship. So maybe a disease will be prevented. But on the same note, is this the way to deal with things? But maybe back in the days, that's how our families tried to deal with these things.
I think those type of things, they don't help, really. It doesn't help, because in life, human beings, we make mistakes. We do things sometimes without knowing the repercussion of what is going to happen if we do those things. Okay. And when we do it, entirely stigma doesn't help anyone. You understand? Because those taboos, sometimes they help to stigmatize other people. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example out of the taboo things I know. Okay. Like, I myself, as you know me, I have a dreadlocks on my head.
Yes, you do.
And literally, Yusuf can tell you that dreadlocks is a taboo in my culture.
Really?
It's a taboo in my culture.
And what is that culture? What is your culture?
It's a Hausa culture.
Okay.
I'm a Hausa Fulani.
Okay.
I'm a Hausa. You cannot, I don't think you can find, out of 1,000 Hausa people you will meet in your life, you will not find a single one with the dreadlocks.
And why is that?
Because it is not, it's not something that we do.
Mm.
You know, everybody cut his hair short and all that, like a normal, like majority of Africans wherever you go. But when you go out of when you go in between like a sub-Saharan towards like a Mali, Senegal, you come across a lot of Fulani people with the dreadlocks. Maybe Yusuf may shed more light about it, but it has to do with it. I understand the reason. The beginning, mostly, if you see somebody with dreadlocks, it's considered stereotypically, oh, this is guy. He's a drug addict. He's a bad person. The judgment is all around that person. But that is not the type of person I am. That's why I find it difficult to believe why is my dreadlocks become a taboo or a why someone can stigmatize me because I have it. Yeah, for that. So there are a lot of things. And so to say like that, it's, I don't know, maybe you should know the origin of this one, but it says that if you are not married and a woman is sweeping the floor and she swept your seat, you cannot be married. So
really?
I know that when I was growing up, when you see a woman swimming,
you run away.
We start running away because you don't want to be you know, because you're going to get married. You know, maybe you should know the origin of this one, but I know that exists. I know that people does that. There's so many weird things
honestly,
like that.
Honestly speaking, most of those things are they are just superstitious. You know, pretty much you have a long years of history, pretty much like this one you've just mentioned of sweeping someone, if he's a male, a woman sweeping the floor, she swept his feet, he's not going to get a wife. Honestly, it has a very, very long history where you cannot, even the historians, they cannot precisely tell you today this is the origin, but I have not seen anybody who confined it in me that's reality. So really something else, you know, in our societies. Absolutely. Of course, we're talking about dreadlock. Dreadlock, absolutely, believe you me, in my entire life, I would categorically say that Nazir is—he happens to be the first House of Fulani I have ever seen with a dreadlock in my entire life.
Goodness!
I'm serious. Yes.
So this guy's gonna go in the history books in Fulani. Oh my God, Naziri! You're writing history, my friend.
I told you, man.
Yeah.
I told you.
People will be running away when they see you there.
Yeah. No, people look at me. I remember the last time I visited home, because I have dreadlocks when I moved to U.S. like 2010. So I didn't go back home until about 2006. That was last year, August. So I was praying that it's this girl who was selling Furad Nuno, which is a yogurt. You know, it's a yogurt thing that Fulani people drink. So she was selling it, and I was praying. I finished praying, sitting, and she came in, and she saw me sitting on a praying mat and all that. She was like, oh, my God, he prayed. You know, she was shocked. Like, I turn around and look at her. Her face, like, her eyes are open wide, and her mouth, she couldn't close her mouth, and I was like, what is it?
She
was like,
she did not believe what is happening. Naziri had dreadlocks.
I can't believe you have a dreadlock and you're praying. Like, it's,
you have betrayed the Fulani people.
Is it something
you are not to be an outcast?
A cultural thing or a religious thing?
It is both. It is both. I think you heard me always like referring to Yusuf to shed a light on it. Yusuf, he's a professor, so he has more knowledge, like historically, accurately can say things more than I do. But I think it's culturally Hausa people doesn't live here, because I had even the original Hausa people before Islam come to northern Nigeria, they don't leave their hair. They always have like a bald hair most of the time. And then also Islamic religion come, and so even the Fulani ones who have long hair, they braided their hair like a mostly look like a Latina type of cornrows and all that. They stopped doing that. So it goes away.
Yeah, actually, that has to do with the environment, you know. Looking at northern Nigeria is predominantly, if you look at it, we have is a desert area, which due to the weather, the climate is always, you know, so having a long hair is gonna kind of, you don't get a fresh air in you. So that has to do with that, which a lot of people, they rather cut their hair so they can get a fresh air. And honestly speaking, during our childhood, we remembered then our parents, they used to have a long hair, but I mean male parents. But for the kids, you know, of course, some of us we grew up with the hair, but we have a different way of a hairstyle. You know, as a Fulani, we have our own ways of our style. But you would still see it if we grew a hair, but at the same time we got it cut short. But yeah, of course, it has to do with the nature of the environment.
Okay. On the same note, just in addition here, that maybe Karina will share with me is, in my area in Africa, East Africa, and I think this is also common in other places, when you're talking to a woman, especially a woman talking to an adult man, there is no way you can make an eye contact. If a woman does that, they say, this one, no good, my friend. This is no good. Yeah. This is no good. You can't do that as a woman. Is this something you share, Karina, as well in your area?
Oh, yeah, that's something very common in our culture. It's not just older men, it's any man.
Any man.
Any male figures. You know, you don't make eye contact, especially if you're in a group with a group of people, family members. It just becomes this common cultural habit where women kind of separate into their own group and then men just kind of go off into their own group and they don't really socialize with each other. Also, when it comes to, like, dinner, and men always go first and they'll get the food and then women go second and they'll get the food. It's like it's them avoiding the interaction between male and female interaction, basically.
It's a male-dominant culture, so women, you have to wait to be... When you come to America, they say, hey, women, ladies first. You're like, okay.
equal. That does not happen. It's a very common thing. And on top of that, you do not look at them when you speak, either.
Yeah.
You keep your eyes lower.
Keep your head down. Especially
head down,
when you have that...
Don't smile too much.
Wow.
You know, all those things. But I think it's changing now, definitely, with the younger generations and everything. But it's there. And especially if you're mixing elder generations to the younger generations in family gatherings and this and that, you definitely see that. It's very evident because you don't want to talk too much. Girls shouldn't talk too much. You know, they should talk slowly and talk quietly and not look.
Be a gentle lady. That's how to be gentle.
Yeah, be a gentle lady.
Don't talk to nobody. Well, hold it right there. You're tuned to Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. It comes to you Mondays at 17 hours, 30 universal time, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. Show tonight, where we lightheartedly explored taboo. Thanks to my colleague Diodon Chubahiro and Susan Yepan from Rwanda and Kenya. My panel in the studio, the only lady in the room, Karina Chowdhury. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Sunday. It was a great topic.
Sure. And also Nazir, the Rastaman. Thank you, Nazir, for coming.
Thank you. Thank you, Sunday. Thank you.
And the scholar, Yusuf Harande. Thank you so much, Yusuf, for coming in tonight.
It's my pleasure, as always.
Sure. And Jackson Mvunganyi is our producer. Please send in your comments and experiences. Our email address is letstalk@voanews.com. You can also call us here
at 202-205-9942. After the view announcement, leave us a message. Again, the number is 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Thanks for tuning in and join us again next Monday at 1730 UTC for another exciting edition of Let's Talk. From Washington, this is Sunday Shomari. See you next Monday. Ciao.